Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold, we're up in St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. First full day of Chiefs practice. No longer just the rookies, no longer just some of the veterans that are rehabbing. We've got everybody out on the field. Practice should be wrapping up in the next couple of minutes. Special teams drills going on right now. Then they'll go through a little stretching, and then that's when we are expected to be joined by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then we'll also carry a couple of the press conferences a little bit later on this hour as well, expecting to hear from Andy Reid, Tyrann Mathieu, and Joe Tooney at some point in the next hour here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. But it's been fun being up here. Some of the fans are starting to leave now as practice is winding down. But this was just a little taste, Cody, of what it's going to be like heading into the weekend where the crowds are going to only increase. I know you have to go online. You got to reserve your tickets. But today was just season ticket holders, and you already felt a little different energy. And this is just only the beginning.
I think so, honestly, just because it's been so long since they come up here. I would assume by family day, right, on a Saturday, there's $5 practices. It's going to be a big crowd. And I know that it's a big disappointment for the fans who don't get to get the autograph stuff, and that was always a big thing, like access, right? You get to see them. But how often do you get to see this many up close and personal? Like, I get it. Gold, you probably sit at the 50-yard line all the time and get this close of a view to a football game. But the rest of us people don't.
Uh-huh,
this is about
right.
as close as you can get to seeing some of this action, to seeing Patrick Mahomes. Chris Jones was, you know, throwing up the peace sign to multiple fans here earlier. I've seen a few people going
Frank
back
Clark
and forth.
Tossed some of his equipment or gloves off to some fans.
He did. I mean, you do still get that experience, even if it's not the full experience going into next year. And hopefully, obviously, by this time next year, as we'll still be the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, we'll get the full experience then. But standing this close to the field watching these guys go, it's the horn goes for the end of practice.
That is it for practice, yeah.
You can, you know, it's okay to be excited to finally be back in St. Joe again.
So they'll go through, they'll huddle up, they'll stretch a little bit, and then that's, you can hear some of the fans clapping in the background perhaps, and then they'll make their way out of the area, and then we'll start talking to some of these players a little bit as we're keeping an eye on camp. And if you're just joining us, if you're wondering, okay, well, who was running with the ones and all that, just to fill everybody back in, and we'll talk about it more later, but the key was the offensive line. That's where we all wanted to focus in on.
Sure.
Would they be willing, at least on day one, of camp, to run a couple rookies out there?
They were.
They're giving an opportunity for Trey Smith to win that right guard spot. He was out with the ones, the rookie, the sixth-round pick. And then you've got Creed Humphrey, who we all expect to be the starting center. At least I certainly have throughout the offseason to be the starting center over Austin Blythe. But does Austin Blythe eventually get more reps at the one as camp progresses? Does Trey Smith look good enough to where they feel like they don't need to give LDT or some of these other guys as many options as the one? But right now, day one, Trey Smith, here's your opportunity, man. They're giving it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's honestly a little surprising. I know that they've been playing him up. Mitch Holtus came on and said that he's got some, you know, Will Shields in him, and we've heard the hype out of Brett Veach and other guys about what they've seen in Trey Smith. But then he's still a sixth-round pick. So you're like, how much are you willing to hype this guy up before I'm supposed to believe or can believe that what I'm hearing and seeing is real, but they're running him with the ones, so they're not just – it's not lip service. Let's put it that way. There have been plenty of players over the course of covering multiple sports that you get lip service on, and you're like, he's the guy, he's the goods, and it doesn't necessarily work out that way. Hell, even last training camp, they pumped up Willie Gay pretty good. They talked a lot about his athleticism, how fast he looked on the field. And then they didn't start him the entire year. He's starting today. Nate Taylor was saying he looked better than any other linebacker out there today. But last year, they hyped him even more than maybe what was end up going to be his role for the team last year. And so I think with Trey Smith, in the early going, they're at least willing to try him starting at guard.
And Chris Jones, we figured he's going to
– He was with the defensive end, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Jones played on the outside. We saw that right out of the way. There was no secret there. Jaron Reed, of course, allowing that to happen. We'll see as camp progresses how often does Chris Jones go back inside because we know how good of a player he is there. But at least, again, day one, Chris Jones lining up at right defensive end is going to take some getting used to. That's what he played in college. But for us here in Kansas City, not used to seeing him out there. I know he's not going to be there 100% of the time, but just how much throughout camp as we start spending more time up here do we see him at right and compared to inside?
Well, it's going to be – fascinating how they use him, because we talk a lot about Chris Jones and his pass rush ability, which I think is fair. Gold, are we going to talk about whether or not he can set the edge? Like, is he going to be on their rundowns ever? Because sometimes you're going to think it's a pass and it's a run. How good of a job does he do in that scenario? And I think that's part of the question we don't want to ask ourselves, because we think he moves the defensive end because he's going to rush the passer. But if you're just abysmal, right, at holding down the run, that's not going to work either. We don't know that about Chris Jones. He's been a good run defender in the middle before, but now it's on the outside. And setting the edge is different than what you were doing before when you were trying to push people to the edge. And so it's a whole other fascinating part of this, but I'm glad they've got a full training camp in order to deal with it. Because if they were trying to do all this last year, all these new players, Chris Jones playing defensive end, I'd have a lot more questions. But because they got a full camp here in St. Joe, I'm less worried about it.
We'll talk some Chiefs with Clyde Edwards-Helaire here in just a couple of minutes. But as we heard from Dayton Moore in the 10 o'clock hour, the trade deadline Friday at 3 o'clock, and there's a name, a former Royal, that his name is coming up. And just naturally because of his ties to Kansas City, people have said, would Dayton Moore be interested in bringing back Eric Hosmer, who by the contract he was given with the Padres has not lived up to that. Doesn't mean he's been awful, but he has not lived up to the contract that the Padres gave to him. Listen to what Eric Hosmer said, though, because there was a member of the media out in San Diego who asked Eric Hosmer about, look, this team is obviously one of the best teams in baseball now. You were here when you first came and the team was a little low. Would you, you know, how would you feel about maybe being even discussed to be on the move?
Would you be disappointed or how disappointed would you be if you were moved off this team after being here through some of the lows?
I think that's a dumb question on your part. I think you're better than that question. Thank you, guys.
So that was Eric Hosmer calling it a dumb question. That's a yes, right?
That's a yes. Bringing back Eric Hosmer, while in theory sounds good, and I'm intrigued. The part that I'm intrigued by is not just bringing back Eric Hosmer. The part I'm intrigued by is that they might be willing to part with one of their top five prospects inside their organization in order for you to take Eric Hosmer from them. So then I'm like, okay. But then if you really dive down and he opts in, right, for the final –
why would he opt? But if he plays well for you, he's not going to opt in for you. He'll go get money somewhere else.
He's not. But in that case, that's actually better for you. Not opting in, I would be more inclined to take it if I knew he wasn't going to opt in, because then I'm not on the hook for that extra $39 million, $13 million options, or whatever it's going to be. I don't want that. I want Eric Hosmer for a short time. What I really want is their top five prospect. Because if it's a top five prospect and it's only the next 2 years, all I'm really paying is $30 million for one top prospect. And you might say, that's ridiculous. That's more than the Royals spend in an entire individual draft, or close to, right? Say that's what they spend for an entire draft. Why would they pay that for one player? Because that player's in AAA and ready to be in the big leagues. And I will take the couple of years of Eric Hosmer's, you know, we'll do the, oh, he's a leader. And you know, and I can slow play Nick Prado to the bigs if it's only a couple of years. If it's 5 years, I'll put him in the way of Prado.
I don't need him as
I owe all this extra money. And I don't need the leader
I don't need the leader crap. They already have those leaders on the team. I'm not worried about that. I don't, at this point in time, I don't think, especially if you're going to tell me Whit Merrifield's still part of the team for the next 2 or 3 years, I don't need to bring in anybody to bring the leadership aspect. They've got it between Salvador Perez, and they've got it between Whit Merrifield. I'm good there.
And it's supposed to be other people's jobs eventually. Shouldn't constantly be needing to bring in leaders. But for the prospect, I would be interested. But Hosmer just gets in the way. It's nothing against Hosmer. He hasn't lived up to that contract, but if you overpaid him in order to get more people inside your system, and then you get to take your time with Prado, because the one thing we never want to admit about Prado, and he's been great, right? He was great in Double-A this year. He's had a pretty good Triple-A season in the early part. He hasn't been Bobby Wood Jr. in Triple-A just yet, but he's been good in Triple-A. Hell, he hit a grand slam a couple of nights ago. But this is 1 year. Nick Prado was a bad baseball player 2 years ago in the minor league season. He was bad. Then he worked in the offsite and seemingly fixed some things. He dominated at AA. He's been very good in AAA so far. So if that continues, but you could be slower with him, in my opinion, than Bobby Wood Jr. if you wanted to be. But not 5 years slower. If he agreed not to opt out, they would give us their number two prospect in their system. and you could find a way to make it work, I'd entertain it. But it just doesn't really make sense from the Royals' perspective. And it's honestly not something I'm hoping they do as much as he is an all-time Royals great.
And he is a fan favorite, and everybody will never forget what he brought to Kansas City, a championship, and also just, you know, the times where they would be celebrating in P&L. A lot of Royals fans got to experience that. There's nothing quite like that. But the other thing that is interesting, he's got a no trade clause with 10 teams. Now, the Royals are not one of those.
I love the 10 teams.
But who are they? You got
they include the Cardinals?
The Cardinals.
The Giants?
The Giants. The Oakland Athletics. There's also a couple
Tigers?
Divisional teams. The Tigers
White Sox?
And the White Sox are on that, just to name a few of them. Not the Royals, but some of those teams
somehow
are either
not the Blue Jays.
Divisional opponents or teams that they had issues
run-ins
with throughout their run in 2014 and in 2015. So I think that was funny. I'm not surprised Oakland's on his list. You don't want to live in Oakland. I don't blame you.
What do you got against
We've
Oakland?
Talked about Oakland. There's a big difference. The Bay Area on once you know, let's just put it this way. You know you're in Oakland. The highways are trash here. All of it. All of it, man. Oakland sucks.
Say one nice thing about Oakland, Cody.
I thought it was fine. I've been in Oakland. It seemed fine.
You were confused. You were in San Francisco.
What about it, though?
You weren't in Oakland. Yeah. You were confused.
I don't remember. I had good dinner over there. I think we got some, like, Italian place. I just spent a lot of time in Oakland.
You
I'm
had
just
good
saying, I'm
dinner
like,
there.
I had a good dinner over in Oakland.
The most vague compliment you could possibly
yeah,
give.
They had a,
went to
know,
a nice Italian place. I had clams. I did. That's what I really had.
Lovely.
Gold's like questions. We were at a similar media, like, first look dinner thing last night, Nick. And not shockingly, Gold got steak and fries, which is not – this is not like
it
a
came,
new development.
Normally, I would get a baked potato or mashed potatoes. It came with fries already. And
yeah,
it was
that's fine. But he got steak and potatoes.
Yep.
I was with a group of three other people, and a couple of them went for steak too. And I'm like, well, we shouldn't all get steak. They said to mix it up. So I got swordfish. And the look
swordfish.
On Gold's face as he came by the table to see that I had chosen the swordfish was one of disgust.
You know, swordfish is actually pretty good. I'll give you that. But – you are developing a bit of a reputation for being a
snooty,
a little fancy boy.
Yeah, that wasn't, but it wasn't like the steak was also fancy. It's not like it was separate of that. The steak might have been more expensive.
It might have been because the swordfish was actually on special last night. That's why Cody got it.
It was the fish of the day. I thought, you know what? How often do I get swordfish? I think the last time I had it was like Tasso's in Waldo. 8 years
Look
ago.
Look at him just dropping stuff,
that's
Nick.
That's it.
Yeah, I was over at Tasso's.
That's not a fancy restaurant. That's
just
a
you know,
Greek
swordfish.
Place in Waldo.
And here in the next couple of minutes, we're expected to be joined by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I see him making his way to us. But, yeah, we'll let you enjoy your swordfish. We'll ask Clyde maybe. Has he ever had swordfish? Do you think he's ever had swordfish? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
You think so? He's going to be like, why are you asking me?
He was closer to seafood country, man.
He's going
to
say, why are you asking me about
gumbo
about swordfish
what
or anything?
About?
Yeah. So let's see. We'll keep an eye on that as they're trying to get the headset over to Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. His practice just wrapped up. Remember, this is his first time having the fans out and about and everything like that. So we'll check with Clyde. I think he's laughing at the length of the court. I don't know if Clyde, if you can hear us over there, man. How you doing?
Doing good. How about y'all?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Appreciate you working with us here. You're on with 610 Sports Radio here in Kansas City. How's it feeling just to be out here this go around? You didn't get the fans. You didn't get this experience last year.
Yeah, I didn't. Like in the training room on the way out, I was telling Trev, man, this is gonna be exciting. The first time that I was, you know, around fans was the Houston game. So this is, this was amazing for me, man. It bringing the energy and everything is great, man. I just wish we could interact with the fans. But other than that, man, it's been pretty good.
We figured you were used to practice with a lot of fans anyway back in your LSU days, right? I mean, those spring practices would be pretty big.
Yeah, sometimes. But Coach O was big on kind of keeping everything locked up and closed in. But, I mean, the times that we did have, you know, fan practices, I mean, it was probably close, but nowhere near like this. This is pretty crazy.
Coach O, I figured everybody who plays for him has an impression. Do you?
What'd you say?
You've never been asked that before, I'm sure. You see, you were ready to roll with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it a couple of times. But, I mean, it's just the old Coach O thing, man. Everybody, that crazy voice, bro, it's so distinctive.
We're talking to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here on 610 Sports Radio. We had you on, Clyde, right after you were drafted last year. And at that point in time, you told us, you know, you've got this nice garage. You're into cars and everything. So what was the project this offseason?
The project was my 69 Camaro. It's an RSSS convertible. It's a 427 LSX motor. But, you know, that's kind of my pride and joy, that one. I have also a 1970 Chevelle. That I'm doing. It's a 454, and I also have my 1988 Monte Carlo that I'm doing.
Who's the other car guy on the team? I think Frank's kind of into cars too, right?
Yeah. Frank Snead is Snead kind of, you know, he's kind of working into it. Daryl's big in the kind of racing. You know, he has some fast cars, but other than that, I'm a big old school classic guy. You know, that's just my cup of tea.
Are you like full blown rebuilding it from ground up? Because like I got on vacation and had car trouble, and I changed a solenoid, and I was impressed by myself. That's an easy.
the Monte Carlo was frame off. The Camaro was frame off. Everything is ground up, man. That's like my first car. It didn't run a drive. So it was kind of just like I kind of got in the garage and got after it, and it was a Mustang GT, and it was kind of just like, you know, if you could fix it and go ahead, and I just kind of got into it.
Did someone just give it to you and said if you can fix it, or was it just like, I'm going to buy this cheap car that looks cooler, and I'll make it run?
When my biological father actually got out of prison, man, that was kind of like his thing. You know, he was in the cars, and the first thing he did was he got me my first one. So it was kind of sentimental to me. I still have it, but it's not in my top five right now.
How's it drive?
Oh, it drives good. I mean, it's for sale if anybody wants it.
We're talking to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here on 610 Sports Radio. I asked you, you know, having fans out here at camp is a different experience than you had a year ago. But for you, just on terms of on the field, does it feel different already? Are things slower for you here in year two already during camp?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, last year it was just leading up to it. It was kind of nothing. You know, everything was kind of just kept getting pushed back. And I was just kind of in the playbook, and everything was kind of virtual. But, you know, it's better when you can actually have a year to actually go through everything. But then, man, I mean, I had a whole season. I'm bringing in the same, you know, pretty much the same group of guys, same quarterback, and same set of plays, you know, tweaks here and there because it's a new season. But other than that, everything's pretty much, you know, feeling good and slow.
What's the next step for you? A lot of people will look at when you were drafted and were excited about your ability to be involved in the passing game as well. You got a smile on your face right now. Do you feel like that's coming this year for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, this is first practice, first group install. You know, we had a couple routes out of the backfield today, but, you know, we have some stuff coming in.
Patrick has talked a bunch about how happy he is about some of the changes in the offensive line. I think that's always we look at because we go back to the Super Bowl and you see, you know, Patrick running around trying to do whatever he can. But that impacts you too, right? I mean,
oh,
I assume that when you see all these additions to the offensive line, you got to be really excited about
it. Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. Every time we had an addition, you know, it was kind of just, you know, we have a big group message in the offense, man, and it was all electric. Every time we got somebody added in, I mean, it was exciting. And then, you know, just for me, man, you know, just the group as the offense, you know, you need help running the ball. You know, can't do everything by yourself. And I mean, it's the same thing for passing the ball. So, you know, as far as the skill position on the offensive side, man, we knew, you know, as soon as we got those guys coming in, we knew it was going to be some great news.
Clyde, some of the guys on the offensive line have talked about the attitude that Trey Smith is bringing, that Orlando Brown is bringing. Have you noticed that as well? It seems like they're both really nice guys. We've had a chance to talk to them. But then on the field, they kind of bring something maybe that the team hasn't had as much on the O-line in the past from an attitude standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably the nicest guys, you know, in person you'll ever meet, man. But as soon as they throw that helmet on, it's a completely different ballpark. I mean, it's just – you know, it's a aggressive composure. You know, kind of how they work, man. It's they're kind of pinpointing everything that they need to do, and then once they kind of engage, I mean, I wouldn't want to be engaged with Orlando or Trey.
Well, they're on your side, so
yeah,
it's good.
I know. You know what I'm saying? But once they get the rolling, man, it's pretty good. It's pretty nice.
We said this is your first trip up to St. Joe, so this is your first experience with fam. This is also your first time staying in the dorms and doing the whole thing. We know normally it's like, hey, who gave you advice to bring the mattress pad? I'm just curious, what are you watching on Netflix?
Man, right now, so yesterday I was watching 100 Humans. I don't know if anybody watched it on Netflix, but it's like, you know, they do the group of 100 Humans. They kind of just like do little scenarios,
yeah,
or just different little – and just kind of, you know. And then before I went to sleep last night, I watched something on lumber, just trying to figure out why lumber's so high. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, trying to rebuild something right now, trying to build a house is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I'm big into stuff like that, just different little things, man. It kind of gets my mind off football, but – why not kind of, you know, spark your mind in something else and figure out what's going on in the world?
Build your own car, you know, just build your own house.
Build your own car, build your own – I mean,
you know, just do it.
Once you, you know, if you can do it yourself, you save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, appreciate you stopping by, man. Enjoy the rest of camp, and I know the fans excited to see you guys get out there some more throughout the next couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Y'all have good. Y'all have a good day.
You got it. That's Clyde Edwards-Helaire joining us here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner for the Kansas City Chiefs. Always good to talk to Clyde. Last time we had him on the show was around draft time as well. Always got a big smile on his face when we were asking him about the passing game. You heard it. His answer was fairly short on the passing game, but I'm just going to tell you.
Twice
he had a big smile on his face. He's like, about what maybe this year could mean for him in the passing game.
I think he knows. He knows exactly what that, you know, what that entails and what's coming from that. And there were a couple of screens today, including, you know, when you think about how few plays they get to run in a practice like this with the ones, there were multiple screen passes to Clyde. So they're already emphasizing that part of it, and he'll talk about those changes and stuff too as we happen there.
All right, let's head out up the hill actually just a little bit, and Andy Reid is getting set to speak to the media. And now we've got a switch there. Frank Clark is now speaking. Okay, we'll actually hold up on that. We'll have a chance to get there, so we'll get to that little confusion on who's actually up at the podium. Nick, just keep us aware of that. Appreciate Clyde giving some time. The text line also saying they got some money for the car. People want the car that Clyde apparently is like it's for sale.
He if anybody says for wants sale.
It, yeah, text line's all about it.
I mean, I'm kind of interested, aren't you? Like, if you're gonna drive an old Mustang, don't you feel like
he
you should
rattled
drive Clyde Edwards-Helaire old Mustang? He's straight up building it from the ground up. I can't brag about my. This is like the time I told Joe Carter I once had a home run in a championship game. Me bragging about changing a solenoid to a person who can build a car from the frame, it's no good. It's not impressive to him. He can clearly do much better things than that.
There were a couple times today during the 7-on-7s we saw them run a couple screen passes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was involved in one or two of them. I know the screen game is something that fans and certainly us have talked a lot about. We expected to see that last year. It just didn't happen. Were there limitations with the offensive line that prevented that? Whether it was the passing game where Clyde had talked about, you know, being split out wide a little bit more, as he said during minicamp, and then here just, you know, certainly excited about what it is to bring. I think it's fair to say we're going to see them at least attempt early on in the season to get Clyde and maybe even Jerick McKinnon, if he makes the roster, and whoever else involved in the screen game some more. They've got the personnel to do it this go around. And that's how when we were talking about, you know, most improved player, NFL.com thinks Clyde can be the most improved player. That's how it happens. I disagree that he needs to. You know, most improved suggests that he had a bad season, but
Sure. Overall,
if he suddenly has another 400 yards receiving or 300 yards receiving, then that's a game changer for this football team.
But that's also the reason why I asked him about the offensive line. Our entire focus on the first part was because we had watched the Super Bowl and we had watched him, you know, Patrick Mahomes run all over the place. So when the offensive line started to get changed, the conversation was, hey, this will help Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the running game. It was, oh, thank God Pat can stand up again, right? He doesn't have to get hurt anymore. He's having off-season surgery, and obviously he's fine from that. But this is a big boost for Clyde. If they are going to be that nasty offensive line, everything that people want to say about Trey Smith, about Orlando Brown, if they're that but for Clyde, big things are capable of happening for this team. Just it's a big shift. And I just hope that, you know, Clyde gets the benefit of that. I almost asked him if he's watched the Super Bowl again. I wonder how many players will rewatch or have rewatched the Super Bowl.
For us,
Tyrann Mathieu said he has. There's just no interest for me.
I think for the players, maybe they have because that's the motivation, right? For us as fans, I've told you, oh, there's no reason for me to ever go back and watch it. If I'm a player, isn't there part of you, as we know, they continue to bring up the motivation to not have what happened in the Super Bowl ever happen again? That's why we're not concerned about the driving motivation of this team. I would imagine there are more players than you would think have watched it. Because to me, wouldn't that, if you're Tyreek Hill or any of these guys,
you think you'd be a motivator?
Wouldn't that upset you watching that
use
it as motivation? I think so. Now, I'm not, you know, when's the last time they watched it? I doubt they're watching it anytime recently, but it's probably something they watched at some point in this offseason. I think that was a motivating factor. If you're a player on the team.
I think it depends. Hitters will tell you sometimes you should watch when you're going bad to try to figure out what you're fixing. Some
hitters
will tell you just to watch
different when
you're hitting well.
Yeah, but that's different.
I don't want to watch when we play bad.
I feel like that's different. That's a whole season, and like that's mechanical, and things are a little bit different. So I think that's going to be a little bit different of a mindset than you just have one game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Where you feel like you need to be motivated. Coming up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but we're talking Chiefs throughout the show. We're up here in St. Joe, first full day of Chiefs training camp practice, just wrapped up a few minutes ago. We already spoke with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Coming up next, we are expecting to hear from Joe Tooney, Tyrann Mathieu, and Andy Reid at some point here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
We're back here in St. Joe. It's Cody and Gold. We're going to go straight over to the media tent and hear from Tyrann Mathieu. Of course, has not received that contract extension on the first day of camp.
So it requires all of us on the back end to really strain and really put the work in. So, like I said, we're going against one of the best offenses in the league. And so every day we work with each other, you know, it's only going to make us better in the end.
Tyrann, not to belabor the point, but on the subject of your contract, you said a month ago you thought it would get done. Just one. I assume you still feel confident it will get done. And is there a time where it becomes a distraction? If you get to the season that, you know, it does get to where maybe you don't seem frustrated now, but maybe frustration could be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing. It's not letting anything become a distraction. The only thing on my mind right now is getting off to a fast start, making plays, and continuing to lead my group. I think anything else takes away from, you know, who I am.
So it'll get done?
Yes.
Hughes is getting an opportunity, new player for you guys. What have you learned about him since he's come to the team and enabled him to earn this opportunity for the first team?
Well, he's been growing, you know, ever since his first day, you know, at OTAs. You could kind of see him growing. You could see him understanding the scheme, understanding the players that he's working with. So it's important for him to continue to kind of take these next couple weeks to continue to get better within the scheme. And I think he has enough talent. You know, I think the guy can play. You know, he's athletic. He could catch punts. You know, got great ball skills. So I think most importantly is all about the scheme, him understanding, you know, where he's supposed to be, what he's not supposed to do. And then from there is football. You know, see the ball, you know, try to make a play.
When you see guys like Jarius Sneed out there and Willie Gay, just their maturation process you've seen from them in a football standpoint, how excited are you just to see them get out there and really make plays out there?
I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, I think a lot of guys come in this league with great upside, great potential, and it kind of fades away. You know, I think the most important thing for young guys is to continue to take that next step. And I think every year you play in this league kind of requires you to take the next step, whether you're a 12-year veteran, you know, or a third-year player in this league. You know, so I'm proud of him for the steps he's been taking. Saw him at the practice today, continuing to get some extra work. So, you know, he's kind of understanding that he's – you know, one of our better corners, and, you know, he's going to have to kind of lead that group for sure.
We spent some time in this tent talking about mental health in light of what Simone Biles is going through right now. Did you pay attention to any of that, and could you speak to just the importance of, you know, mental health?
I mean, it's extremely important. I think we all have different influences. You know, some of our influence, you know, spreads far beyond, you know, the country we live in. So I think most people don't necessarily understand the pressure. So you really mostly pray for those people. You pray for the people around them, hoping that they can continue to, you know, get the support that they can get. But, you know, I'm proud of her. You know, I'm proud of Naomi. I'm proud of all these women who are kind of stepping up, taking that initiative to kind of put, you know, that mental health first. I think that is the most important thing for an athlete.
Tyrann, you said a minute ago that the only thing on your mind right now is getting off to a fast start. That's what you guys have done your first 2 years here. You get one, what, 5-6 games in a row to start each season. Something you guys do this time of year that you can put your finger on that allows you guys to get off to those quick starts?
Well, I think it's really coaching. You know, I think it's our leadership that we have from all our coaches, you know, our coordinators, and the position coaches. I think all of them kind of really strain us. They stretch us. They require us to put in a lot of work, you know, before we actually get to that first game. And so I think all those things pay off, you know, the meetings, coaches being hand-on, detailed. I think all those things work well for us. And, you know, I think that really helps us. And we're one of the best conditioned teams, you know, in the league too. So we run around a lot. And I think all those things kind of help us get off to a quick start.
You said before that you're a guy who tries to get to know everybody on the team, regardless of their position. Just wondering if you've gotten to know Orlando Brown at all in your time as a teammate, and maybe if you have a story about that you can pass.
I mean, we chop it up for the most part, you know, every day. And I'd probably say, you know, we talk mostly about where he was going to stay at when he bought a house out here. So I kind of suggested to him, you know, a couple areas for him to move into. But, I mean, I can't stand next to him for too long. He's way bigger than me. So, you know, but it's kind of good to have him around.
We'll go three more guys. We'll go Pete, Mick, and then Nate to close it out. Go ahead.
You have your shirt, My Job Plus. That's a Spagsism, right?
Yes.
What does that mean, if you could describe that?
Well, I think it's important for you to kind of take care of your job first and then understand you're playing with 10 other people. So we all kind of have to work off each other, help each other. Some of us have to do the dirty work for other guys to make plays and vice versa. So it's not just about your job, but it's also about kind of helping your teammates too. So that's where the My Job Plus comes in at.
You made a point to let everybody know that 29 isn't old. I think we'd all agree with that in here. What is the prime, you think, for defensive backs in this league? And where are you physically, athletically at 29 compared to other years?
I think most of the guys I've looked up to, they've played in this league a long time. You know, Rondé Barber, Deion Sanders, Charles Woodson. So, you know, Champ Bailey, Jonathan Joseph, when I was in Houston, he played 14 years at outside cornerback. That's pretty tough to do. So, I think for the most part, if you take care of your body, you know, you can play in this league.
I know you take so much pride in being a leader for the guys, but for yourself, what do you want to get out of this so that you can tell that you're better than where you were a year ago?
Well, seeing other guys come along with me. I don't think it's all about me making all pro. If I get a couple other guys in my room to kind of, you know, be an all pro or be a Pro Bowl or even be a household name where guys want to see them play, you know, every Sunday, I think that's the ultimate goal for me. That's what Patrick Peterson provided for me, just that vision, you know, to be special, to be great no matter what people think. You know, so I see that for those guys. I think we have a couple guys in our room that can really be all pros. And so, but it's up to those guys to believe in that and put in that work.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
All right, that's Tyrann Mathieu, courtesy of Chiefs.com, speaking to the media after the first full day of practice, saying that he's not disappointed at all by not getting that contract extension before camp started. He's making sure it's not, you know, important to not let it become a distraction. And does say he's confident the contract extension will still get done. We mentioned the timelines and everything. Now that this one passed, we got to see the next 3 weeks or so and really up until week one. Let's go right back over to the media tent. Joe Tooney, one of the Chiefs' veteran linemen, of course, a newcomer in the offseason, speaking now.
Laughing, joking. So they're a great group, a lot of great guys. And, yeah, it's just, you know, being out here, you know, it's just kind of an isolated bubble, and it's great to spend all the time with the guys and, you know, just keep building every day.
So you're new here, but you're a veteran in this league. When you listen to Trey Smith and watch him, what do you see in him that maybe reminds you of what would be a veteran player?
You know, yeah, he's really strong. He's physical. He's smart. You know, he studies his playbook really hard, and, you know, it's everyone's communicating up there on the O-line, and, yeah, but he's doing a great job, and, yeah, this just it's great to be part of this group.
What's it like to see the communication between Reed and Patrick in terms of now that you're doing 11-on-11, you're going to have pads come on here pretty soon?
Yeah, you know, OTAs were great to, you know, get a lot of, you know, reps in and a lot of time in with the offense as a whole. And, you know, day one out here, it went well. And, you know, I think we're just going to keep building. And but they're doing a great job. You know, Creed also getting his playbook a lot. And, you know, Patrick knows, you know, every, you know, so much. So it's been great.
I know there's a lot of talk about the chemistry of the line coming together and getting reps, and I know that's important, but this franchise under Andy Reid has always had great success when guys go down and being able to move around. What and maybe you had that again in New England, sorry I didn't cover them day to day, right? But what has made what about how Andy Reid does things makes them so successful at when guys do go down being able to put it all back together?
Yeah, you always want to, you know, be able to play multiple positions, you know, whether it's center guard tackle, or you know, all three. And, you know, I think coaches do a great job. Coach Heck has done a great job of, you know, getting guys, you know, in different positions. And, you know, because like you said, you know, it's football. It's a physical game. You never know what's going to happen. And just got to have, you know, the next guy ready to go. And I think everyone in the O-line room just wants to work together, work hard, and, you know, just do the best they can.
As a follow-up, is it harder, the physical aspect of changing the positions and the different techniques, or the mental side of digesting and knowing all the different roles?
You know, it's a nice combination of both, I guess. You know, I guess it depends on the guy, but like for the communication, the mental, everyone's talking the whole time. Everyone's trying to communicate. Everyone be on the same page. And yeah, physically, you know, it is a little different from each position, but I guess it depends on the guy.
What about this heat? I mean, training camp's supposed to be hot, but you know, we have the wonderful 106 degree heat index today. Do you feel it out there?
Yeah, I feel like I can't stop dripping, but you know, it's great. You know, it's, didn't realize Missouri got this hot, but it's been great, and everyone's just grinding out there. And you know, shout out to the training staff, and always, you know, keeping us well hydrated, and doing a great job. And so yeah, it's been great though.
So are there things you can do, or maybe are doing, to sort of speed the process for not only Trey Smith but also Creed as well?
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, being in this bubble, kind of being, you know, here on campus, you know, we spend so much time together, always talking, always. You know, bouncing ideas off each other, or you know, explaining, or what do you mean by this, or what you know. So just talking to each other, and you know, using our collective, you know, brains to try and, you know, totally be on the same page. And so it's been, yeah, been going well.
You come in with a tremendous resume, but do you still sense, as a new football player joining a new team, do you have to prove yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I think always. You know, I mean, you know, Kansas City Chiefs, what a tremendous organization, what a great group of guys, especially you know, recently the success that we've had, and or you know, yeah, and going to the Super Bowl multiple times, and you know, I always just want to come in here and do my role, you know, be the best I can be, and to try and, you know, contribute the best, most I can to this group, and you know, just excited to be here, and it's been great so far, and you know, couldn't be happier.
Joe, you're joining an offense that numbers wise top of the board across the league. Two areas that they were kind of middle of the pack last year was in the red zone and running the football. As an offensive lineman, what's the key to running the football, you know, in those short yardage situations in the red zone?
You know, I think everyone's got to be on the same page, you know, in regards to the defense and the, you know, blocking scheme. And, you know, I think it just comes down to execution and, you know, trying to, you know, play hard through the whistle. And, you know, there's, you know, it's only, you know, day one of training camp. You know, I think we're all trying to, you know, get better each day and keep trying to progress. And, you know, it's a process. And, yeah.
Hanging out with all the rest offensive linemen in this bubble type setting, but with Orlando Brown, especially them being next to you, how you guys just kind of hung out? What have those conversations been like?
Yeah, he's great. You know, he's a great player, and you know, like I said, especially being on the left side, playing next to him, always talking about, you know, just what we're seeing out there, how we're approaching things, and Coach Heck's done a great job of, you know, giving us great coaching points and you know, pointing us in the right direction, and so just. Yeah, it's been great, you know, playing with them.
Anything else? All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Joe Tooney, courtesy of Chiefs.com, speaking after today's practice. Joe Tooney, for me, is one of those guys where on the left side, I'm like, I'm not worried about it. Like, I think you know what you're getting.
You're good.
I'm good. You can maybe have some questions about Orlando Brown.
Because he hasn't played as much left tackle as some others.
Right, but Joe Tooney is just a guy, I'm like, all right, you plug him in. You're good to go. You gave him that contract for a reason. Highest paid left guard in football now. You're set. You're set at that spot, whereas, as we know, on the right side, it gets interesting. Is it Trey Smith? Is it LDT? Trey Smith was running with the ones today. Creed Humphrey was running with the ones today at the center spot. And then it was Mike Rimmers, who I know people look at the Super Bowl and when he was playing left tackle and like, ugh. But he was fine at right tackle. And maybe as the season goes on, maybe that does become Niang. It's just day one of practice. Let's keep that in mind. But it's definitely notable. I know Andy Reid was asked about why Trey Smith was getting the work with the ones earlier after practice, and he mentioned consistency. That's how he described it. Trey Smith sounds like he's been the most consistent guy so far for them.
He's beating up vets. I know it's not Kyle Long, who we all kind of penciled in to be the starting right guard because he's on the pup list, but, you know, LDT is still an experienced veteran guard who's been in this league.
The year off.
Allegretti, you know. It doesn't matter who he's going up against. Multiple of those guys have at least played in this league. Maybe they're not, you know, the highest touted guys coming in there because both Allegretti and LDT were late round draft picks. So is Trey Smith. So he's in no different camp than that. And if he's already saying he's the most consistent, that says a lot. You mentioned Orlando Brown. The reason why I would have a little bit of hesitation into what, like just penciling him in, like you said, versus Joe Tooney, is Orlando Brown hasn't played that much left tackle. For the Ravens, he was the right tackle for a majority of the time there. Because they had Ronnie Stanley, who happens to be an excellent left tackle.
That's why he's in Kansas City, frankly.
Oh, absolutely. And he played good left tackle. People were worried. Honestly, we've talked to Ravens beat writers or radio guys. They're all worried. whether or not he was going to be able to handle the job that was missing from Ronnie Stanley. Because if Eric Fisher went down, and then all of a sudden Mike Rimmers was at left tackle, didn't go so well, did it? He was fine at right tackle, not so good at left tackle. So that was the fear maybe going into Orlando Brown. He played really well there. But also, he has a very limited amount of time at left tackle in the NFL. So there is still a little more for me unknown with him.
Orlando Brown Jr. was asked about this season, knowing that in all likelihood he could be franchise tagged after this year, could work on a long-term extension. Does he consider this a prove-it season for himself?
Personally, man, you know, I've taken it upon myself throughout my life to really feel like I got something to prove. You know, I'm a very limited athlete as a player, as a person. I'm not the shortest of guys. Obviously, you know, I don't often win a leverage battle. So I've always felt like I've got a lot to prove. And I'm attacking this year, just like every other year, to get better, to be the best player that I can be to put this team in Super Bowl contention.
Yeah, definitely not the shortest guy. He is 6'8". on the football field, so he's not wrong there.
Is he sleeping on a twin bed? I still don't understand how this works.
We do need to find out.
Twin beds.
We need to find out. There's no way if you're 6'8". Like, do you put them together, or do you got? You need the length. So are you just gonna like?
You gotta curl up, man.
You take the headboard
you
off.
Sleep like a baby. You gotta curl up.
The feet are dangling no matter what.
You just sleep with your legs straight out? I sleep a little tucked. My knees are bent a little when I sleep.
I sleep on my stomach, and then. Because of the dog, I'll sleep sometimes at a diagonal almost on the bed because the dog eventually, as the night goes on, moves over. So there'll be, if I were to wake up in the morning, I'm not perfectly straight on the bed, but
you can get more distance in the diagonal. Maybe two twin beds pushed together.
Who sleeps on their stomach?
This guy. This guy right here. You want me to ask our Travis Kelce's going to join us tomorrow.
He did the two thumbs towards himself and everything for that, Nick. This guy.
You didn't ask Clyde if he eats swordfish, and you didn't ask him what his preferred sleeping method is.
All right, we'll ask Travis Kelce both questions tomorrow.
We would like Clyde Edwards-Helaire back tomorrow for a second interview. We missed a few questions we'd like to get to. I'm telling you, he's probably had swordfish. The next time we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on this station, and I'm sure that it will be sometime, maybe in the early regular season, or maybe another time in camp. There's a lot of days up here. If Clyde rejoins us here at camp, and we can certainly ask him again, we will ask about swordfish and if he's who sleeps on their stomach. Do you sleep on your back, or are you a side sleeper?
All he wants to talk is cars, honestly. You guys could just have a 15-minute conversation about cars, you and him, Cody.
You notice he laughed when Cody brought up the engine coil or whatever it was.
The solenoid, he
laughed. He's like, yeah, that's basically like, that's nothing, man.
That's child's play, sir.
That's nothing. I'm building a car from the frame up.
That's finishing work. I've built a bathroom from the studs, so I'm not the least handy person of all time.
Going back to Orlando Brown, though, in all seriousness, I think for him, it's a prove-it season because if all goes well, he's basically guaranteed to get a $100-plus million contract from somebody, and most likely Kansas City. You know, it's not a sure thing on if it's Kansas City, but you don't make that trade if that's not your intention. Most likely, they'll use the franchise tag on Orlando Brown Jr. That'll buy them some time to negotiate a long-term contract. Who knows? We might be sitting here a year from now being like, oh, he got a deal right before Chiefs training camp. Who knows, right? That's the scenario that could play out. So it's a big year for him. It's also why it's a big deal that Tyrann Mathieu still does not have an extension. I know he says he's not going to let it be a distraction. He's not discouraged or disappointed or anything like that. At least that's what he said to the media a few minutes ago. But you can't tag Tyrann Mathieu next year if you think you're going to have to use that tag to negotiate a deal with Orlando Brown Jr., and which is why, again, if there's not a deal done for Tyrann Mathieu before week one against the Browns, he becomes a free agent, and I don't think he's back in Kansas City if that happens.
He says he doesn't, so it's hard. Because with Tyrann, he wears, you know, his emotions on his sleeve a lot, which I think, you know, helps him a lot of times to be a better football player. I think he plays with emotion, and you see that. But he's saying, hey, I can't let it become a distraction. I can't let anything become a distraction. Last night he tweeted, oh, so 28's prime, but 29's not? So it's on his mind. He can say he's not disappointed, and I understand that notion. He can say that. But he's clearly a little disappointed the deal isn't done. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with thinking, hey, what more do you want me to do? That'd be the question I've asked. Like, there's been a couple of guys over the course, not everybody, right? Charvarius Ward doesn't have a new contract. You don't hear him saying, hey, what more do you need me to do?
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
That's what I'm saying. Every player is not like that. But if you're Tyrann Mathieu, legitimately think about it. What else you want me to do? I showed up the year after you had the worst defense in the NFL. The following year, went to the AFC title game with a passable defense. The year after that, won the Super Bowl. I have played corner for you. I have played safety. I have blitzed. I've been in the linebacker spot. What more do you want from me? in order to prove that I'm worthy of this contract. And because he's left two other places, he's probably had this feeling before.
Well, that's what he tweeted. Remember, he deleted the tweet. This was going back probably 2 months ago. He had that tweet. He later deleted it and because someone was asking him whether or not he was going to get a deal. And he had responded, had deleted that. And it was essentially saying, I've been through this before, and what you just outlined there, Cody, in Arizona and then in Houston. And so, yeah, I think he's already, even though he deleted the tweet, he already admitted it was the same feeling. But then there was more optimism right before they went on, you know, the five-week break. There was more optimism. He sounds, even today, at least publicly, still optimistic about it. I know Clark Hunt spoke earlier and feels like they're going to get a deal done, you know, if it's the right, you know, of course, right?
Sure.
If it's the right deal. Which, so that's the obvious point when it comes to that. I just think to your thought process there about the type of player he's been, I also throw in the type of player he's been off the field, Tyrann Mathieu, and then the community. I mean, he has done everything you could ask for. What's the issue? Is it that he wants to be paid more like a corner than a safety? I don't know that to be a fact.
Or is he just going to be paid like Simmons in Denver and they don't want to pay him?
Is it that the Chiefs are refusing because of his age to have guaranteed money past the next two years? Does he want, you know, what's the disagreement on that? Clearly there's some separation. I don't necessarily know if it's fair to say, oh, they're way far apart. But it's been very quiet on that other than cryptic tweets from Tyrann Mathieu and then his comments today about it. But it's can continue to be the story now through camp because it's not something that was resolved before day one of training camp. And so now here we are. We sit on what's today, the 27th or 28th of July. We're going to have to find out around September the 8th or so if he gets a deal before then.
If it's not by then it's serious risk of becoming a free agent. And then their offseason needs list grows. Because all this let's save money on corner stuff has partially been completely saved by Mathieu. Not completely, but let's admit it. Without Tyrann Mathieu, could they have kept being as cheap as they've been on the corners? Taking fourth rounders, paying, you know, trading undrafted free agents, paying Breland $4 million. Like, this is what they've done over the last 2-3 years. They've paid nobody to corner, partially because they've had Tyrann Mathieu. That's why this works.
And Juan Thornhill, I want to point out today, it's day one, he was running with the twos. So keep that in mind as well. You asked me the question the other day when we were up here, you know, about what kind of season are we expecting from Thornhill. It's day one.
It's not a sure thing.
But he was running with the twos today. So if you're saying, oh, well, maybe they have faith that Juan Thornhill can be the guy if they're not going to give an extension to Tyrann Mathieu, I'll just point out on day one of camp, he's just running with the twos.
So they're not there yet. And I get it. They've got depth at safety, and they usually only run two safeties when they've got good linebackers, and they were running three linebackers today, which means two safeties, and obviously Sorensen is a guy that they trust. And also, that's just a different lineup. Thornhill can be – he's more of a true safety than what Mathieu has done at his stage. So he's not even a direct replacement. He's more of the eventual Dan Sorensen replacement, which makes it even more difficult for that. So they've just – they'll have questions, but a lot of that will surround them whether or not they get a deal. And I'm still relatively optimistic, like Tyrann Mathieu is. I'm still above 70% likelihood that Mathieu gets a contract.
Just a little bit on the injury front. We had mentioned early to start the show when we were keeping an eye on the offensive line and who was running with the ones, but – the Chiefs put Kyle Long on the PUP list, and then Nick Kaiser's on the non-football injury list. He's, you know, was a long shot, I think, anyway, to make this team based on drafting Noah Gray. They brought back Blake Bell. Noah Gray ran a little bit with the ones today, I think, is something to keep an eye on. We know Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football, but just in terms of the progression, they really like Noah Gray today. A couple plays, not full-time, but a couple plays he ran out there with the ones. He'll be another guy to follow just in terms of, all right, Blake Bell and Noah Gray. We assume Blake Bell is going to be the number two tight end on this team, but how much of action do we see Noah Gray get? Here on day one, he got a couple snaps there with the ones out there, and Nick Kaiser is a long shot, especially now he's not even able to practice. I mean, I don't think Nick Kaiser makes his football team.
Or they bury him on the PUP, right?
Practice squad, PUP, something.
There's some version of that, right? They, you know,
I mean,
that's
he's on the non-football injury list, though. He's not in, like, that's the thing. He's not. There's a reason why Kyle Long's on the PUP list. He's physically unable to perform. Nick Kaiser, he's on the non-football injury list, so we don't know what's going on there.
No, he's not going to make the team.
Even before,
but we knew that we knew that when they drafted Noah Gray, didn't we? And then they spent all this offseason, another player they've liked to brag about a little bit, Noah Gray. When they went through that process, that transition, I think we knew that Nick Kaiser's time was at least probably somewhat limited. For Kyle Long, this is the part of the year, just as a warning, this is not the time of the year where you have massive freakouts about who is or who isn't on the PUP list, by the way.
You can be removed.
They can come off really
You can be removed.
Anytime.
Although, I mean, just knowing what they told us about Kyle Long's injury, it would make plenty of sense if they kept Kyle Long on the pup list in terms of roster spots. And then you go and you've got, let's say it's LDT or based on today, it's Trey Smith starting at right guard. You've got some more depth. You've got some versatility if Kyle Long is someone mid-season, because you're not going to make it through the whole season without a single offensive lineman not missing a game. That's just not something that you typically see in the NFL. We saw that firsthand here in Kansas City last year when it comes to that. But just a little bit on the injury front as we continue our coverage here. From St. Joe, our training camp on 610 Sports Radio is presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. Coming up next, we talked to Clyde Edwards-Helaire earlier on the show here this hour. NFL.com says he could be the most improved player. We'll tell you why that might be the case.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.